All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Zechariah, chapter 11. I was reading Zechariah last week, early in the week, for my own edification, and I read my text verse, and I thought, you know, I preached on that before. So I have these notebooks in my office. They're that size right there. All right, that fits three rings, and it fits right down in there perfectly. And I've got like 50 of them, and they're all full of sermons. And there's no order, there's no structure, you know, because when I go somewhere to preach, I don't prepare a brand new sermon. I've tried it out on you, and if it works on you, then I use it when I go out. All right, does that make sense? There have been times where I've thought, oh, wait a minute, I preached on that. I remember preaching on that. And then I go looking, and when you have to sit there and go through 50 notebooks that have 150 sermons in them, you know, sometimes you just can't find what you're looking for. And so I turned around, opened the drawer, or opened the door to the place where I keep all of them. And I just said, all right, well, let me just grab one. So I grabbed it, and I opened it up. And when I did, I was two sermons away from this sermon that I'm going to preach to you this morning. Now, I preached this here in 1996. All right? 1996. If you remember this, you got a gooder memory than I do. All right? But I doctored it up a little bit and made it a little more applicable to today. But I want to speak to you this morning from verse 2 of chapter 11. If you'll look down at verse 2 of chapter 11. And I want to read just one little thing here, just one little phrase, if you will. And it's in verse 2, and here it is. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. When Pastor Ray and I went over to Lebanon a couple of years ago to train Middle Eastern pastors on winning souls, how to win souls, and get them cranked up and fired up to do so, Brother Malad and Dr. Fagali took us up into the mountains in the northern part of Lebanon, and showed us the cedar trees. Now, you've heard of the cedars of Lebanon, right? They are absolutely beautiful. There's no way to describe to you how massive these trees are. They are humongous. I don't know how else to say it to you. They're just huge. And I have a photo on my phone somewhere. It's in the cloud right now. But I have a photo that I took up there of a little fir tree that was growing under the shadow of one of those mighty cedar trees. I mean, this cedar tree is so big around, it would take 3 or 4 men to gather around the base to wrap around it. It is massive in size. And they grow up tall, and their branches spread out everywhere. Of course, the bottom branches are long and thick, and then the next is not quite as long and thick, but it's still massive. Then and right on up to the top. And they are absolutely fascinating when you stand and look at them to imagine that that was the type of tree that Solomon had cut down and brought down to the sea and put on ships and then brought down to the coast of what is what was called Caesarea by the sea, and then they put them on wagons and they hauled them up to Jerusalem. And that is the wood that Solomon used in order to build the temple, and the inside work and the beams and the structure of the temple. It is hard, solid wood. It is bug resistant. In and of itself, it is so beautiful when it is planed and cut in the right way, and that's what Solomon used to build the temple. Now, the fir tree was a little is much smaller, and it grows, and I have a picture of a fir tree underneath the mighty cedar on my phone. And this when I saw that, this verse came to my mind, and I took the picture so I would have it. And it goes right along with what Zechariah says here in verse 2. Howl, fir tree. So there's the little fir, and they were everywhere. There's the little fir that grows underneath the mighty cedar tree. Now, I want you just to get that visual in your mind. The fir is just this little tiny tree. Its wood was used for flooring. Its wood was used for musical instruments. Its wood was used for finishing work. It was straight, grew straight. It did not take the same shape as the sprawling cedar tree. And yet, side by side, they grew. The massive cedar and the little fir tree. The massive sprawling cedar and the little fir tree. Side by side, the fir growing under the cedar tree. Now, the little fir tree grew under the branches of the massive cedar. The little fir always looked like it was seeking shelter and resting under the great protection of the massive cedar tree. Now, think about this, folks. If the little fir tree fell, it never caused a stir. If that little fir tree fell over, it was no big deal. No damage was going to be done if the little fir fell over. The animals would not take notice. As a matter of fact, there was no reason to. It was of no consequence. when the little fir tree that rested under the cedar tree fell over. But if the mighty cedar were to fall, if that sprawling heavy tree whose limbs and trunk had been standing there for centuries, and if it fell over, well, you can be assured everything around it would know. I mean, when it fell with a thump, a loud thump. And as it cleared and went to the ground, it took everything in its way with it. And that is why in verse 2, Zechariah says, howl, little fir tree, howl, fir tree, the cedar has fallen. You see, if the fir falls, no big deal. If the cedar falls, the little fir goes over with it. It'll get caught under the branches, the sprawling branches of the great and mighty cedar tree. And that's why our text says, howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Now, let's apply this to us this morning as we look at the forest of men. You see, when the devil lays his axe to the spiritual cedar, that cedar falls, then the little smaller fir tree is going to fall with him. It always happens. It always happens. And listen, my friend, whether you realize it or not, you are a cedar tree to somebody. You are a cedar tree to somebody. And so you got to be careful. I mean, there's this little tiny fir tree that grows beneath you, and that little fir is dependent upon you standing firm and standing tall, and is depending upon you to be as stable as you can be. Because if you fall, you take the little fir tree with you. How many times does it happen? Now notice what the text says. It doesn't say, howl, cedar, for the fir tree has fallen. No, it wouldn't make any difference at all. Not at all to that cedar tree if the little fir tree fell over. That little fir tree is not going to damage that massive cedar tree. But if the great cedar falls, so does the fir that grows beneath it. Whether you are a pastor, or whether you are a Sunday school teacher, or whether you are a bus worker, or a bus captain, or a deacon, or you work in the master's clubs, or you keep the nursery, or you are involved in the soul winning ministry, listen, regardless of where you serve, if you are a dad or a mom, you must realize that you have a little fir that you will destroy if you fall to the ground. Now, let's think about this morning. First of all, the little fir tree might call you daddy. Think about that. The little fir tree might call you daddy. You know, all of us have somebody who is under our shadow. You may be a cedar tree that rises above a little fir, and that little fir just might call you daddy. To your child, you are a mighty cedar. And if you fall, then that little child goes down with you. And you know, our churches are full of young people who are spiritual disasters, who have left the will of God because their mighty cedar, their dad, has fallen along the way. When I was a little child, I think I've told you all this several times through the years, but when I was a little child, every kid in our neighborhood thought my dad hung the moon. They thought my dad flung the stars into space. They thought my dad was the strongest man on the planet. And as far as I was concerned, he was. And by the way, still is. That's how I feel. I feel my dad, he's it. I mean, he's the greatest man that I've ever known. I that's how I grew up thinking about my dad. If some kid in the neighborhood, if his bicycle broke, I would say, hey, that's all right. Dad will be home at 5. Let's take it up to my dad. He'll fix it. And we'd haul it up to the house and wait on dad. And when dad got out of the car to come in for dinner, he'd stop and fix the bicycle every time. Every time. I mean, he could just do it. And every boy grows up loving his dad and thinking that his dad is just the greatest that ever lived. Well, let me tell you something, Dad. To your children, you have the wisdom of Solomon. To your children, you have the strength of Samson. You have the stature of Goliath. You have the greatness of Moses. You have the brilliance of the Apostle Paul. You have the faith of an Abraham. And all the tragedy, the heartache, the despair, should you fall. I mean, stay rooted, Dad. Stay rooted. Don't let anything knock you over. Don't let the storms of life topple you. Stand strong and don't let the ill winds of life cause you to fall over and crush that little spiritual fir tree that is underneath your branches. Oh, the temptations that Satan throws at dads to quit, to give up. Someone offends you. Well, that's life, isn't it? I mean, you're going to get offended. If you can get through life without being offended, God bless you. You say, well, I'm going to go find me another church. I got offended. Well, brace yourself. You're going to get offended there too. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Someone mistreats you. Bless your heart. Be careful, Dad. You got some fir trees underneath you. You better be careful right there. The devil comes along, tempts you to sin, tempts you to do some foolish thing that is going to ruin your life, and in the process is going to ruin their lives. I see so many young men who can't seem to realize that there is a price to pay for sin. They just think that they're immune from having to pay sin's very expensive price. But that price is measured not in dollars and cents. That price very often is measured in those little fir trees around you, and you can't put a price tag on that. So listen, Dad, you stay strong and you live for the Lord and you love your children and you love your family and you do right, and you'll be blessed in your life with a family that loves and respects you. Then notice, secondly, By the way, this just popped into my head. If you're strong, your family's going to be strong. Amen. Better be careful. But secondly, lest the men think I'm picking on them. Number two, the fir tree may call you mother. Yeah. Oh, how wonderful it is to be called mother. Isn't it amazing that during football season, you'll see this 300-pound lineman, and he makes a great play, and then he comes running off the field, and the camera's right on him, and he whips that helmet off when he gets to the sideline, and everybody's coming up and hitting him, and the camera stays on him, and he's taking all the accolades from his buddies, from his teammates, and then he walks over, gets right in front of the camera and says, "Hi, Mom." Why don't they ever say hi, Dad? How many of you are offended by that? Raise your hand. It's terrible, isn't it? Hi, Mom. It's ridiculous. I mean, look at all we do. And we get nothing in return. Hi, Mom. I mean, sweat and drool coming off his chin. He two teeth are gone. He's got a scar here and just looks like fire in his eyes. And then he melts into this little puppy dog and says, "Hi, Mom." You know why? Because there's no greater honor on the planet than to be a mother. That's true. That's true. There's nobody like Mom. Let me tell you something, Mom, to your little fir trees that are under you, you have the beauty of Sarah. You have the courage of Esther. You have the piety of Mary. You have the patience of Rebecca. You have the unselfishness of a Naomi. You have the loyalty of Ruth. You have the warmth of a Phoebe. And you have the grace and the charm of a Rachel. But Mom, you better be careful. Because if you fall, there's some little fir trees under you, and you mark it down, they're going to fall with you. I mean, if ever there was a time when moms need to be strong and spread their protective branches and guard their children and cover their children from the storms of life, it is today. It's today. I often look at all the little kids running around here, and man, my heart just breaks for them. I wish that I could do more to ensure their spiritual training. I wish I could do more. I have 8 grandchildren. My, my, my. Grandchildren are so much better than your own children. Aren't they? Yeah, you can sugar them up and send them home. I heard that. I heard that. Of course, I've never done that myself. All right, y'all quit being so spiritual over here. Hey, Mom, listen, you have an influence. You have an influence. Nobody else has the influence you have. You make more of an impression on your child than I ever could. You know, you ought to just look at your little children right now. Get a mental picture of them in your mind right now. And you ought to make up your mind sitting right here this morning that you're not going to let the devil have them. You're not going to let the devil have them. Be strong, mom. Be faithful, mom. Be Christ-like, mom. Hey, your kids should not see a mother with an attitude, just mad at everything. They should not see that. They should not see a cigarette-sucking mother. You know, they say cigarette smoking. No, the cigarette smokes. You suck on the cigarette. That makes you a sucker. Huh? Now that'll preach, won't it? Won't get many amens, but that'll preach. Your children ought to see a godly, sweet, loving, compassionate woman who gives her all for the little fir trees that are underneath her. Now, last thing I want you to see is, let's tie it together. Some of you parents need to lose yourselves in your children. I mean, just make up your mind. They're not going to turn out the wrong way. Wail, howl, cry, for the cedar is fallen. And that little fir tree has been destroyed. Folks, let me remind you that Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, thought it nothing to leave Bethlehem. The house of bread, by the way, Bethlehem. Beth means house. Lechem means bread. The house of bread. They left the house of bread to go to Moab. Why in the world would anybody want to go to Moab when they were in the house of bread? Well, They did. They left the will of God in the land of praise, Judah, the land of praise. That's what Judah means. In the house of bread, they left that. But the two little fir trees who went with them never came back. When Ruth and Naomi came back, Elimelech died there, and the boys stayed there. They never came back. That's sad, isn't it? See, you don't know what influence is going to hit should you fall. You see, when the mighty cedar David fell, so did Absalom and Tamar and Adonijah and Amnon. The truth of the matter is, the scriptures tell us that the sword never left the house of David. All because that little cedar tree named David fell. When the mighty cedar falls, listen, no one sins alone. That's the bottom line. When the cedar falls, the fir is crushed. No one goes away from God alone. When the cedar falls, so does the little fir tree. No one is disgruntled alone. When the cedar falls, so does the little fir tree. No one is bitter alone. When the cedar falls, so does the little fir tree. No one takes a drink alone of alcohol. No, the little fir trees are going to be affected. You mark it down. You mark it down. They're going to be affected. Oh, dear family, dear church family, we need a revival among dads and moms People say, what's wrong with America? The church. That's what's wrong. Church has lost its fire. The church has lost its zeal. You see, the cedars have fallen, and the fir trees go with it. You say, well, I can never get my kids to make a decision for God. Maybe that's because you don't make any decisions for God. You say, well, my kids are this, my kids are that. Maybe that's because you're this and you're that. My mom used to say all the time, the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree. I would turn, what does that mean? She, you figure it out. And that's true. The little fir trees need you to stand. They need you to stand, Mom, Dad. They need you to stand. You can't control the government. You can't control the school system. You can't control what goes on down in Annapolis. You can't control any of that, but you can control your home. All these people say, well, you can't take anything to heaven with you. Yes, you can. You can take your children. You can take your wife. Don't let it be said in your home, howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. I pray you'll bless what's been said here this morning. Help us to think on it. Help us to think on this. Help us not to just say, well, I vote we all accept this information and then just go on. Father, help us to take it to heart this morning. Every person in this room is a cedar tree to somebody. There's a little fir that is watching. A little fir. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to stand strong. Oh, Father, help us this morning. Send conviction to our hearts. Send revival to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.